Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, I don't know the last time you were in the book of Ezekiel, but since I've been back from vacation, I don't know how you decide what book you're going to read next in your personal study. I just seem to open it up. And then when I open it up, I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to read this. And then I just get stuck in there for a while. So when I got back from vacation, I opened up to Ezekiel, and I said, well, I spent a little bit of time in Ezekiel. And it's been a while since I've been in Ezekiel. And I'd say it's the first part of it is not that exciting of a book. It's filled with a lot of doom. There's a lot in there that's just like, oh. You know, there's this one part where the Lord tells Ezekiel to, like, go into this town and cook food over his own excrement and then feed it to people. And, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's some pretty... But then he prays and says, God, please do something else. He says, all right, cook it over animal excrement. That's what you get. And so, man, I guess that would sound like a bonus after your own. But it's just not a really encouraging book, the first few chapters of this thing. And, you know, part of the way I study the Bible, my personal study, is that I always like to read until I feel the presence of God. And I just kept reading this thing, man, and I wasn't feeling the presence of God. I was just feeling fear. And I was like, man, there's got to be some stuff that I need to work on in my life because there was just a whole lot of judgment that was coming through. But then I get to chapter 9, and it talks about, like, idolaters being killed. And you read this in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 5, he says, as I listened, he said to the others, follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter old men, young men, and maidens, women and children. But do not touch anyone that has the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. So the good news is that he's going to start killing people in God's church first. And so, again, that wasn't very encouraging to me either. but then in chapter 11, there's this fantastic part. It talks about God giving the people of Israel a new heart. Because that's really what Ezekiel's about, is that God speaks to Ezekiel and says, you know what, my nation, the nation of Israel, is not doing good things. They've been doing bad things, and I'm angry with them, so I'm going to kill them, man. That's just how it's going to be. You know, you got to read the whole counsel of God. I mean, God is love, and God is peace, and God is mercy, but man, there's some chapters of judgment here when God just lays the smack down on people. And so... what I want to talk to you about tonight is really about having a hard heart. Because there's this verse here, and we're going to read it here in just a second. And it talks about how God says to the nation of Israel, you know, I've done all this stuff with you, but what's fixing to happen is that I'm going to take your heart of stone and I'm going to turn it into flesh. And once again, you are going to begin to be able to love and to be able to feel and to be able to have emotion, and you're going to live your life the way in which I had intended it. And if you're anything like me, serving God sometimes, I'm not saying you've lost your salvation, or I'm not saying that you're not saved, but sometimes you turn around and your heart has become hard. Like when you first get saved, man, you just like, you're full of love and full of compassion. You love to be in the presence of God. You can't do anything less than read His Word. And then little by little, I don't know what happens, but you just become kind of like this, you know, I'm a Christian and it's good, but it's like, you know, you just kind of complain. Why does the Bible got to be so long? And, you know, why do these people around me got to be so nasty? And, you know, you just kind of like become this smug, self-righteous, like, it's all about me kind of Christian. Do you guys know anybody like that? I'm sure you guys know people like that, you know? So turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 11. We'll start in verse 5. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says. This is what you are saying, O house of Israel. But I know what is going through your mind. You have killed many people in the city and filled its streets with the dead. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The bodies you have thrown out there are the meat, and this city is the pot, but I will drive you out of it. Again, not very encouraging. We're getting to the encouraging part. You fear the sword, and the sword is what I will bring against you. Isn't that nice? They're afraid of the sword, so what does God give them? The sword. He says, I will drive you out of the city and hand you over to foreigners and inflict punishment on you. Still not that exciting. You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. Again, not that encouraging. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The city will be a pot for you, nor will you be meant in it. I will execute judgment on you and at the borders of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. For you have not followed my decrees or have kept my laws, but have conformed to the standards of the nations around you. Now, as I was prophesying, Peledia, son of Benaiah, died, and I fell face down. This is Ezekiel talking, and cried out in a loud voice. He says, O sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel? Because he's worried here. He's like, man, God's coming down with a bunch of judgment. It sounds like Israel's done. Like he's going to kill them all. And the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, your brothers who are your blood relatives and the whole house of Israel are those of whom the people of Jerusalem have said, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. Verse 16, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, although I sent them far away among nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I've been in a sanctuary in them in countries where they have gone. Therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is when it starts to get good. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you've been scattered. So he says, I'm going to send you out, I'm going to scatter you, but then you're going to come back, and I'll give you back the land of Israel again. Verse 18, they will return to it and remove all of its vile images and detestable idols. Verse 19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. And I read that and I was so encouraged, and I thought, you know, that's a message for the hard-hearted. That's a message for the people that have lost their way. That's a message for people that have said, you know what, I don't know how, but I ended up getting scattered in a foreign land, and I started worshiping idols I shouldn't have been worshiped. I deserve the punishment and the death of God upon my life, but God in his infinite mercy pulled me back. He pulled me back and he gave me that heart of flesh. He gave me that heart of flesh that gave me the ability to, as it said, follow his decrees, follow his laws. You know, because the truth is that in and of ourselves, with our own strength, it's burdensome to follow God's laws. But when the Spirit of God is within us and gives us that ability, what happens is that they are no longer a burden, that God himself is giving us the encouragement and the push to be able to follow his laws and his decrees. And we have that flesh, right? That new spirit, that heart that actually beats for God. It no longer beats for ourselves. And it's actually a living, breathing thing. Amen? Do you know that God is concerned about your heart? He truly is. You know, Christianity has the ability to turn into just form, right? It's easy. I mean, if you just show up to church every single time the doors are open, raise your hand, smile at people, and do a few other things, man, people will think that you're squared away. But God is looking for more than that. God is looking for more than lip service. He's looking for more than just going through the motions. He's actually wants your heart condition to be a heart that says, God, I want to serve you with everything inside me. I don't follow your laws because I don't want to go to hell. I follow your laws because I love you. I follow who you are because I want to be in your presence. Before our lives can change, Christ has to penetrate through more than just your mind. Following Christ is not just a construct that goes on in our minds. It's supposed to actually affect us in such a way that there's a passion in serving God that is unexplainable, that at oftentimes we're overcome with emotion that words cannot explain. We don't just merely serve God because it's a good idea. I mean, serving God is a great idea. It truly is. But God is looking for more than people that like his good idea. They're looking for people that have a heart for him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be married to Crystal. I want it to hurt that she loves me so much. I do. I don't want her to just go through the motions. I want her to be jealous of me sometimes. I want her to be overcome with emotion, just be like, oh, I love you. I like that. I don't want her to just be like, well, I'm committed, and we're married, and this is fine, and what would you like for dinner? That's not fun. That's not passionate living. And you don't want a spouse like that. You don't want a friend like that. You don't want a friend that's a friend out of obligation. You want a friend that's like, dude, I love you, man. Let's go hang out and do absolutely nothing together because you're my friend and it doesn't matter what we're doing. All that matters is that we're together. Amen. Those are the best kind of friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
Most people acknowledge the reality of God and the fact that Jesus is Lord, but it doesn't always move from a head knowledge into the heart. It just doesn't happen. And you know, for our church, if I could say anything about our church, man, I want us to be real about the fact that we love God. I don't care about anything else. Everything else flows out of that because everything that we do is going to be an extension of our love for God. We can make things look nice and be comfortable and everything else, but if it doesn't flow out of the love of God, it's empty and it's hollow. That's all it is. Do you realize that you can have a rock that can sit in water for 1,000 years, and if you crack that thing open, it'll be dry on the inside? You can be submerged in something and never let it penetrate you. You can be around the people of God and never really be overcome with the emotion of who God truly is. And people say, well, you know, God's a construct and I don't need to be overcome with emotion. I'm not saying you need to be overcome with emotion, but the fact is we're emotional people and get emotional about something in your life. You get more, some of you get more excited about the burgers that they're eating. Oh, this is so good. You got to have a bite of this. This is the best thing I've ever had in my life. No, no, here, try. My mouth is full. I just don't want... No, you want it. Here, take a bite. People get so excited. People get excited about watching something on television. Oh, I can't wait to see the end of this. I can't wait to see how this season ends. Man, are you a Christian? Yeah, serve God. It's good. Man, you guys go to church? Yeah, we go to church. It's good. It's fine. It's no big deal. People become blasé about serving God. Are you kidding me? The greatest thing that we have in our lives is the fact that we're able to serve God. There's nothing else in this world that matters. Nothing. It's all meaningless. It's bleh. You're not going to take anything with it. You're not going to take anything with you. Nothing at all. A lot of times people have a problem identifying whether or not that they have a hard heart. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a doctor before, but have you ever had a recurring health problem and you just want to go to the doctor because you want to get the diagnosis? Right? Because you just want to know what it is. Because once you know what it is, it's easier to deal with. Right? And so you're like, I don't know about you, but my elbow will always hurt. And then I'm like, I hope when I go to the doctor my elbow still hurts because it hurts when I do this. And you go to the doctor, you're like it doesn't hurt, but it was hurting for like 3 weeks. And then when I got here, for some reason, it stopped. Am I the only person that happens with? But then the doctor's like, all right, whatever. Here, take these sugar pills and you'll feel better. Why do I say that? Maybe you're one of those people that need to identify that you actually have a problem with your heart. So, some people don't even realize it. You might have a heart of stone and you don't even realize that you do. You're living in this world that says, well, it seems like everything's fine. I don't know why my life isn't the way it is. Well, you need to really ask God. Ask God and say, God, do I have a heart of stone? Have I become hard-hearted? You know, in Psalms 139, David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And that prayer was David actually asking God, say, God, if there's anything wrong with me, let me know. I don't know why. I want somebody to tell me if I smell.
Amen.
If I stink in a loving way, be like, brother, more of this and this. Here, I'll buy you a tube. I'll buy you a stick. People get so offensive. I can't believe he told me my breath stink. Well, it did. I don't want my breath to stink. And you know what the truth is? You shouldn't want sin in your life either.
Amen.
You shouldn't be afraid to go before God and say, God, is there something in my life that needs to be fixed? Is there some sort of faults that need to be corrected? See, a lot of times with a hard-hearted person is they don't even want to face the reality of the fact that their heart is hard. And somebody called me like, your heart is hard. No, it's not. Don't tell me my heart is hard. A soft-hearted person, when confronted with the reality of somebody saying, I think your heart's hard, you're like, really? Oh, what did I do that made you feel that? Is it something I said? Did I do something to offend you? Because that's the last thing I want to do is to be a stumbling block between you and following God. I'm so sorry. Is there something? What can I do? What can I do? Well, who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? I don't have a hard heart. You don't have a hard heart. It's fine. It blows me away how people that have so much knowledge about God, and that's the worst thing about the nation of Israel. These people had seen God move powerfully, and yet they became hard-hearted. How much Jesus do you need to see to allow your heart to be softened? I mean, you see God move, and you see Him in effect in your lives, and then what happens is that we just little by little, and I know how it is, man. There's been times in my Christian walk where I've become hard-hearted. You just lose compassion for people. You lose compassion for serving God. You lose the excitement for serving God. But you have to go to Him and say, you know what? God, search me. Help me to understand whether I have that heart. You know, the Pharisees, we talked about the Pharisee Nicodemus on Sunday. The Pharisees knew more about the Word of God than anybody else, and they were the ones that Jesus had the most condemnation for because they should have known better. All they did was look at the situations of Jesus' life and found fault in them. I mean, I know some Pharisees came to Christ, but can you imagine what it must be like being in heaven now for those guys? And Jesus is like, man, can you believe you were like that with me? I'm like, I know. I was so hard-hearted. I'm sorry, Mr. Jesus, because I don't know, I'm fine. Just because you're doing good things doesn't mean that your heart's not hardened. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that your heart's not hardened. Just because you read your Bible and pray does not mean that your heart's not hardened. Just because there's things that you don't do doesn't mean that your heart's not hardened. Having a hard heart does not mean that you're an evil person. It doesn't. And that's one of the hardest things to face about a hardened heart is that oftentimes, you know, a pastor will get up and be like, hey, let's talk about whether or not you have a heart of stone or a heart of flesh, whether you've got a hard heart. You're like, I seem to be doing all right, man. And you know what, that's one of the biggest barriers to realizing that you have a hardened heart is that you think that you're doing okay. You think, man, I'm fine, man. I'm not steeped in sin. I'm not doing all this. But you really start to peel back the onion and look at the inside and you're like, man, it's hard in there, man. It's not soft. There's no softness there. It's truly become a stone. Maybe you're doing the right things. I know that this is for some of you, but your heart just feels cold. I know what it's like, man. Even as a pastor, sometimes I'll tell you, man, sometimes I just go through the motions. Yeah. I'm being obedient, and it's fine, but I don't want to go through the motions. God honors obedience. You're not going to feel it every single time. You're not going to feel it every single day. I'm not 100% excited to be Crystal 365 days of the year. Sometimes I just smile because we're married. But I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to pretend I'm excited to be married to my wife. I want to passionately love my wife. I don't want to pretend that I like serving God. I want to passionately be excited about serving God. This is how you might know if you've got a hard heart. Have you lost compassion for the sick? Have you lost compassion for the hurting? Have you lost compassion for the sinners? One of the symptoms of a hardened heart is a loss of compassion. One of the earmarks of our faith as Christians is we should have compassion for each other. We should have compassion for people. We see people that are steeped in sin and all we do is pass judgment on them. We don't even weep over their sin anymore. We just cast stones at them and say, we're the worthless, vile sinners. And how dare they do those things? We don't even shed a tear over them. We don't even care that the fact that we got people in our family that are going to hell because we're just so done with them. When's the last time you wept over a sinner? When's the last time you wept over somebody's demise? There's been times when I've passed by people on the street and I've had love and compassion for them. And there's times when I went by them and I was just like, well, sucks to be them. Should have worked harder. Wouldn't be on the side of the road with a sign. I know you guys don't do that. You guys are just full of compassion, you know. But for me, I'm like, you know, there's plenty of work down at, you know, Mickey D's. Go down there and start working for $8 an hour. I know you guys don't do that, but, you know, I mean, that's what happens when you have a heart of stone, is you just start looking at people that can't afford to buy their own food, and you just say, well, it's their fault. They should have made better choices. They're just getting what they deserve, man. Just get a job and stop asking for a handout. Sometimes I'm more zealous for justice to be served and for people to get what they deserve than I am for people to receive grace and mercy. Get so excited, like, man, I just can't wait for them to get theirs. Because they deserve it, man. They've done bad things. You know, this whole Batman thing guy with the shooter guy? People just want that guy to get what's coming to him. Man, that guy needs grace and mercy. Man, he needs grace and mercy. But we do that in our own lives, right? We look at people and say, man, they just got what they deserved. They just got what they deserved. Perhaps some of you can identify this with it. You probably can't, because you guys just have hearts of flesh. But I know that for myself, sometimes I just have this stone inside of me. And you see like a brother or sister that's in Christ that's living in sin. And sometimes I just, I hope that they get it from God instead of like God giving them mercy. Me, I want mercy, man. Lots of mercy for myself. But other people, judgment. Right? You know, Crystal and I were on this vacation and we stayed with some people, and sometimes people had things that we wish we had, or done things that we wish we'd been able to do. And we say, man, we serve God. How come we don't have a 6,000 square foot house with an infinity pool? Crystal says, I don't want to clean it.
Amen.
We've been called to view people as Jesus views people. You have a passion for what's going on around the world, our heart should break over all the things that God's heart breaks for. Is your heart hardened? Have you lost a desire to grow? Have you lost desire to say, you know what, God, I've been serving you long enough, man. I pretty much know everything there is to know. There's not really much more you can do in me. But I'm ready to help other people get to where I am. As Christians, we're in the process of being changed and transformed into the image of God. But the truth is, serving God, I'll be honest with you, man, sometimes it's like being on a treadmill. It's like, dude, how long do I have to do this? I'll tell you, forever.
Amen.
As soon as God works something out in you and changes something in you, and you think you're arrived, God just comes along and says, hey, there's something else we need to work on. And we couldn't start working on that until we got rid of this, but now we're ready to go. And then you figure, well, I'll just work on that for a while. Then God says, okay, work on that. You get done with that. You get to the next thing. He goes, I got something else for you to work on. And you know, the truth is, he's a gentleman, man. Bless God that he just gives it to us little by little. Because if he showed you everything you had to work on, you'd give up today. Luckily, there's just one thing that you need to work on. Over time, many people lose their desire to continue to grow in their faith and do God's will. That's when we stop growing and stop caring to grow that we can tell that our hearts have become calloused. And oftentimes, for myself, it's the conscious choices that I make that create opportunities for spiritual maturity. You have to force yourself into situations that cause you to grow. I'll give you an example. My neighbor died while I was on vacation. It's compassion, but one out of one people die. And the guy was, he was in his 60s and he had a heart attack, and it was sad. Well, his dad was there with him. His dad's like 83 something years old. And, man, it was just like, you know, parents aren't supposed to bury kids. Kids are supposed to bury parents. So we get home Saturday, you know, Friday we drove. We drove 17 and a half hours. We woke up at 4 a.m. We're on the road by 4:20. I-5, 1,150 miles from Anaheim to Covington. Got home at 9:45. Now, I don't want to tell you guys this on Sunday, but I had nothing prepared for Sunday. So I had to spend the bulk of Saturday working on my sermon before I did a wedding Saturday night. So Saturday was pretty busy. And so I'm sitting on the couch, plugging away on my laptop with my Bible, trying to figure out about Nicodemus and how we're going to start off John chapter 3. And I look out, and the guy who's dead's walking across the cul-de-sac into his son's house. And I look at him, and I think, I just ain't got time for this, man. I got a wedding tonight. I got a sermon tomorrow. I got a church to prayer with, everything else. He's going to cry. It's going to be uncomfortable. I don't even know the guy. I've never even met his dad before in my life. But I know who it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's an 80-year-old man. He's walking into the house. Garage door's open. He's in there going through the stuff. And God's like, tunk, tunk, tunk. I don't know about you, but it's not fun to talk to somebody who had a loved one that died.
Amen.
I can nobody's like, sign me up for that one. So I did, right? You got to walk over and you got to, and this, and 83-year-old man weeping. He hugged me. He's like, you're the minister, aren't you? Yes. And it's like, you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to be able to grow. And God brings them by you all the time, and you either walk through the door or you don't. and they're everywhere every day. And you just see them and you're like, either I'm not going to stop or I am. Either I am going to call or I'm not. Either I am going to help or I'm not. When your heart becomes, when you have to. It's like when your heart becomes hard, you lose that desire to do God's will. You lose that excitement to do the work of God. Now, you know what's funny is you give people a new ministry and they're really excited to do it, right? We got this whole new safety team thing here, right? The guys are back there ready to, you know, tackle whoever, and they're ready to do CPR, and they're going to, you know, save us from everybody. Is anybody here on the safety team? Yeah, right? Give it about 2 years, and it's like we're the most boring church in the world, and nothing happens, right? After 2 years, guys are going to be showing up later, not going to be caring as much. Like, why are we doing this, man? Nothing ever happens. That's what happens. That's the nature of people, right? When it first starts out, they're so excited to serve God in this capacity. Little by little, it's like, how do our hearts do this? You know, the truth is a lot of this happens because of the continued practice of sin in our lives. Yeah. Nothing hardens a person's heart faster than the continued practice of sin.
Oh, right. That's good.
Despite what many people will tell you, it really does matter what you do and how you act. It really does matter. And it's funny, it's never about the smoke and drink and chew and run with women that do. It's not about that at all. It's the stuff that goes on in your mind. The continual pervasive sin in your mind that's, well, God can't hear what I'm really thinking, can he? So I can just keep it inside of here. Sin is unique in that, unlike money never leads to more money. When you have it, it goes away. But when you have sin, it always leads to more. Every time. That thing multiplies like anything else. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a judgment. The reality is we're all sinners, and we talk about that at our church, right? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin is, I'm not justifying sin. I mean, it's a part of our life because it's constant, pervasive, and coming up to us. But we have to strive to avoid it, right? We can't celebrate it. It's the continued practice of sin or a sinful lifestyle that hardens the heart. And what happens is that we don't even realize it. We just, you know, continually do it, and then little by little our heart just goes, and it gets hard because, you know, we're no longer affected by the sin that's around us, right? So you have to ask God, and you have to say, you know what, God, is there an area in my life that needs to be dealt with? Is there an area in my life that's full of sin? Let me assure you that God knows every thought and action that goes on in your life. It never goes unnoticed. And maybe, you know, and I'd fall into this trap too, is that, you know, the sins of the mind, you tell yourself they're not that big of a deal. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Because it violates the nature of God. You know, it's interesting, you know, people love to talk about the God of the Bible, and we love to focus on the mercy and love of God, and I do. But, you know, the Bible talks more about God's holiness than his love and his mercy. And God's holiness is only found through a faith in Jesus Christ, but that faith in Jesus Christ doesn't give us freedom to just live our lives however we want. Sin violates the holiness of God, and when we sin, we break fellowship with Him. Maybe you've been living in some sin, and I'm not going to say it's fine, but it's fine to the point of where just ask for forgiveness tonight, amen? Our world's standards are not God's standards. Can you understand that? Something that might be okay for the world is not okay for us. God asks us to live a certain way and do things a certain way and forgive people and love people, allow people to, you know, trample over us. We've got to do it, and it's not easy. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're living in sin, repent and don't live in it any longer. Another thing that hardens people's heart is the removal from God's presence. See, I don't want to beat you guys up because you're here, but, you know, I don't know if you've ever made a fire before, but if you take a group of logs and you make a fire, man, that thing burns hot. But if you take one log out, it burns a little bit less. Take another log out, and it burns a little bit less. You know, when church is full and everybody's here and we're all worshiping God together, man, there's a fire, man. And it's going. A couple people start pulling themselves out of the fire, and it just doesn't get nearly as hot. And the one log that gets pulled out of the fire always goes out. It always does. You know, a lot of times people just separate themselves from the presence of God, and then the little fire that they had just goes out. Hardens your heart. You know, people, and again, people busy. It's fine. We're all busy. It's life, right? You know, it's interesting, you know, and I'm not trying to, it's not about that at all. Like I said, Crystal and I were on vacation. We went to church the four Sundays that we were on vacation. It was great. Being at church. Good job, Crystal. We were in church four times, and it was great being around the presence of God, but I tell you, it's different when you're around your community. Yeah. Right? It's different when you're around people that know you, that can tell when you're not doing well and want to be there for you. It's so important to be part of a community, man. You can't, the ability to serve God just walking in at the bell and walking out at the bell, and I experienced was like, there's no love in that. There's no accountability in that. In community, that's where you find it. Now, here's the end of this. I know we're running out of time here, but how do you soften those stone hearts? So you're sitting here today. You're saying, you know what, Matt? That's me, man. I got a hardened heart, okay? How do I soften it up? It starts by you have to start chiseling away at that thing, man. Don't be so prideful to sit here tonight and think, well, this is probably for someone else. Because the truth is, I think that probably all of us in this room have, if not our whole heart, there's parts of our heart that have become hardened. Right? Let's just be honest. Because I know it's even for myself. There's parts of this where I'm just like, ouch, man. Why am I preaching this tonight? This is for me. You got to chisel that thing away. Many things come into our lives and slowly harden our hearts, and today we can chisel away at that. The first way that we do that is the Spirit of God does it, right? One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict our hearts. We, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's really interesting, is that he'll knock at your heart as long as you allow him to do it, and then after a while, if you keep pushing away, he just stops knocking. He's just like, you're not going to listen to me. I'm not even going to prick your heart anymore. I'm not even going to knock on that thing anymore because it's clear you're not going to react to it. You know, tonight I pray that tonight as I'm preaching this message that you're feeling some conviction from the Holy Spirit. I just pray it. And here's the part is that this isn't a message of judgment. It's actually a very encouraging message, right? Because we can be excited about the fact that God softens our hearts so we can serve him with passion and enthusiasm. Yeah. And so if the Spirit is convicting you just the tiniest bit tonight, allow him to convict you in that area so that you can grow. Walk out of this message and say, you know what, God, thank you. That was for me. Thank you that I got that message, God. Would you just begin to soften my heart? Because a lot of people push it off and they say, well, that wasn't for me. It was probably something else. It's not something else. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it to you. The Holy Spirit does it, but you know what else does it? It's the Word of God does it. This whole message is from the Word, of the Word just chiseling away at our hard hearts. When you read this Word, When you spend time in it, it'll chisel away your hard heart. It'll give you that compassion again. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. It's able to divide both flesh and marrow. It's able to reveal things about our hearts. And so it's in the Word that we can find help for our problems. And we can claim those promises. And we can learn the way of chiseling away at our hearts. The fellowship of the saints chisel away at the hearts. You know, before service, I don't know what happened tonight, but like, no offense to anybody present, but like a ton of people showed up at like 6:30. There wasn't no food or nothing. People were like, man, I just got to be around God's people tonight. Back there was a little circle of people sitting around talking. There was like, man, I just need some fellowship. I just need to be around God's people. You know, the fellowship of the saints of God's people is one of the greatest remedies for a hard heart. Do you know how annoying it is when people are nice and loving to you when you're trying to be hard-hearted? Quit hugging me. I'm trying to be in a bad mood. Right? Isolation is the best way to stay hard-hearted. You get around the people of God and let them start loving on you, and it's so annoying when everybody's happy and you're not. But one of the best things you can do is consciously make a choice to be where God's people are and find opportunities to fellowship. Two more ways, and we're going to shut this down. The guarding of your heart is what softens your heart. And I understand, like, we're not a real hardcore, like, telling you how to live type of church, man. And I know that there's a lot of blurriness with like the things that we do with like the programs that we watch and the movies that we watch. And, you know, the truth is that like I have the ability to watch some things that you probably don't, right? Just because of who I am. And the truth is that you might be able to watch some things that I can't watch, right? Like you can watch Pride and Prejudice and not sin at all. It causes me to swear. It really does. That big, long, thee, thus, thou period pieces. I can't watch those movies. They make me very angry. Because I don't like those type of movies. I'm joking. It was a joke. Crystal loves those movies. She only watches them when I'm gone for the night because I refuse to watch them. But like sometimes you've got to turn something off. When's the last time you turned something off? When's the last time you're watching some television program and say, you know what, this ain't for us. When's the last time you took that Netflix movie and you said, you know what, I'm sorry I rented this, and I just put it in? When's the last time you're sitting in a movie and you said, you know what, this isn't for us, honey, let's go. We'll just sacrifice the $20. You're like, we paid $20, might as well sit here and sin for 2.5 hours. But you have to guard your heart.
Yeah, that's right.
When's the last time you were around somebody and you said, you know what, bless God, but I don't think you and I need to be friends for right now.
Ouch. Yeah, come on.
Yes. I just don't think this is where we need to be because you're pulling me into sin and I'm not going to do this, man. I'm going to guard my heart.
Amen.
You start living a life like that and God softens your heart.
Yes.
And this is the last one. I'll leave you with this. Is the repentance of sin softens the heart.
Yes.
It's one of the greatest ways to soften the heart, man, is you just go before God and just be honest. He already knows what's going on. And you just say, do you know what, God? I've been sinning in this area. I know you've been seeing it. Would you help me in this?
Amen.
Would you please help me in this? And he's like, yes. It's been waiting for you to come here.
Yes.
And then he changes your heart. Amen.
Amen.
The promise of Ezekiel, and I'm going to continue to read the rest of this book because it's, I don't know, it's got a few more dozen chapters in this thing. But the message of this part of Ezekiel is that God wants to give us those flesh hearts, man. He wants to give us a heart to serve Him. A heart that has a passion to serve Him. We get excited, man. We're not like, and not false excitement. No false excitement. I hate false excitement. I want real excitement, right? I can be false really easy, but it's not fun. And I'm not asking you to be, I'm saying, you know what, let's go before God and say, God, is my heart hard? If it is, help me to soften it so I can continue to have compassionate excitement to serve you.
Amen?
Amen. 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 Close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's pray.